Let's turn today to John's third letter, the third epistle of John, the elder to the beloved Gaius. The second letter was written to a God-fearing sister. This one's written to a God-fearing brother, Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Again, the apostle of truth speaks much about truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. It's possible for us to read more into this verse than John actually meant, and some people have done that. But what is John saying? That he may truly prosper. We need to understand what the blessing of God means in our life. What does it mean in the new covenant for God to prosper us? In the old covenant, we know what prosperity meant. It meant only material prosperity. And David was wealthy, Solomon was wealthy, and there were many people in the Old Testament who were wealthy because God prospered them and blessed them. But in the new covenant, our kingdom is not of this world, and our riches are not of this world either. We seek the things that are above. Jesus said, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. Our treasures are in heaven. And the only prosperity that a true man of God seeks is that prosperity which makes him wealthy in terms of riches in heaven. And when a person stumbles on this verse and begins to use this verse as an excuse for pursuing material prosperity, it's an indication that God has allowed him to go astray because he does not love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 10 and 11 tell us very clearly that God will lead astray those who do not love the truth so as to be saved. The truth is you cannot love God in money. And the truth is that if God has given you much, that's not for you to keep, it's for you to share with others. Then you won't have much. And so, the prosperity that John desires for Gaius is not that he might become a millionaire, certainly not, but that he might have treasure in heaven, like the other apostles had. Peter and Paul were not millionaires. They had treasure in heaven. They prospered way beyond any Christian businessman today. They prospered. John says, I pray that you may prosper in that New Testament sense and be in good health. That is, what do we need help for? We need help to do the will of God. We must not allow the devil to oppress us and harass us so that we can't do God's will. But that doesn't mean that I'm to be so preoccupied with healing as though that is the main thing in life. Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And do you know what the next request is? Give us this day our daily bread. Food for health. Why? To fulfill the previous request. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. That is the purpose with which God gives us health, that we might do the will of God in our life. For this, it's right to ask for health. Lord, give me health, not to make money, but to do your will, to serve you, to live for you. Many people who seek for healing do not seek for health on those grounds. If you seek for health, seek it that you might do the will of God on earth as it is done in heaven, and God will certainly grant you health. Of course he will. And if you seek prosperity, may it be for spiritual prosperity. For I was very glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth. That is how you are walking in the truth. John says, I'm delighted to hear the testimony that other people give about you, that you are walking in the truth. And we considered in our last study what that meant, keeping God's commandments and loving others in the brotherhood. He says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. He says, the greatest joy I have is when I hear that those who have come to Christ through my ministry are keeping God's commandments and loving one another. This is the only thing that brought delight to John's heart. He never got any delight out of hearing that his converts got good jobs and good houses and things like that. It's the only thing that brought joy to him, the greatest joy, was when he heard that those who had come to Christ through him were keeping the commandments and loving one another. Beloved, he tells Gaius, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. He's speaking here about Gaius's hospitality towards those who come. He's never met them before, but these are people who have been traveling to spread the gospel. And he says, they bear witness to your love before the church. They have testified how you have cared for them and shown hospitality to them. And when people like that come to you, sincere people who are serving God, you must send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. That means help them with prayer and financially to help them to move on. Now notice what it says here. It's not talking here about giving money to a whole lot of preachers who don't need it in order to make them richer than they still are, but in order to help them move from one place to another to proclaim the gospel. He's speaking about financing their ministry so that they can move from one place to the other. Set them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God. Cooperate with them in this matter financially of helping them in their ministry so that they can travel with the gospel. Here John is encouraging Gaius to do that. For, he says, these servants of Christ have gone forth for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ, and they take nothing from non-Christians. Here is a principle that the early church followed, that they never took money from unbelievers for God's work. And there we see how wrong it is in public meetings to collect money from a whole lot of unbelievers who have come to hear the gospel in those meetings. Notice what it says here. They took no money from unbelievers. When we receive money for God's work, it's very important for us to know whether that money has come from a believer or an unbeliever. If it's come from an unbeliever, we must not receive it for our own support or for the work of the Lord. Accepting nothing, not a pie, from unbelievers, because they have no right to give to God or cooperate in God's work till they've given their hearts to Him. Support such people who live like that, refusing to take anything from unbelievers and seeking to serve God. Gone out for the sake of the name. We ought to support such men so that we can be fellow workers with the truth. We must financially support such men, sincere men, who've gone out for the sake of the truth, proclaiming that Jesus has come in the flesh, proclaiming that we must walk in the commandments and love one another. Then he talks about two men in contrast. One is Diotrephes. He says, I've wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who's the elder there, loves to be the first among them. There are a lot of people like that who love to be the first. That is the spirit of the Antichrist, which we see in Diotrephes, loving to be the leader. And then, of course, he does not accept what John says. For this reason, he says, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does. John is a fearless apostle. He's the apostle of love, but he speaks the truth. He unjustly accuses us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this, neither does he himself receive the brethren we send, but he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Here is a man who's become a mini god in the church, filled with the spirit of the Antichrist, refusing to accept the authority of the apostle John, wanting to be the leader, ruling over other people, not giving freedom to believers to live according to their consciences and to welcome other wholehearted brothers, but in the name of being a shepherd, controlling their whole life. There is this false type of shepherding even today, where a shepherd begins to control every little aspect of your life, even as to whom you invite into your home. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, verse 11, but what is good. Beware of such people, such Diotrepheses in the world who love to be first, who love to exalt themselves with titles and in various other ways above their fellow believers. The one who does good is of God. The one who walks in humility, who does good. The one who does evil has not seen God. And here the evil spoken of is this evil of exalting oneself and seeking to lord it over others in the church. In contrast, he says, Demetrius, verse 12, has received a good testimony from everyone. Here's another brother, possibly an elder too, but a humble brother, quite a contrast to Diotrephes. Here is the spirit of the Antichrist manifested in Diotrephes, and here is the spirit of Christ manifested in Demetrius, having a good testimony, not just from everyone, but a good testimony from the truth itself. In other words, God's truth, God's word, bears testimony to Demetrius. And John says, I also bear witness concerning Demetrius, and you know that you can depend on my testimony. You know that you can trust what we say about anyone, because I've got discernment, John says. There is a difference between Demetrius and Diotrephes. Demetrius is the one we are to follow. Diotrephes is the one we are to avoid. And then finally, John says, I had many things to write to you, but I'm not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. I hope to see you shortly. He's eager for that personal fellowship, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Here we see in the short episode, John warning us of the danger of being influenced by that spirit that seeks to exalt ourselves. Let's be witnesses to the truth.